Good evening. Some of you may not know me. My name is Stephen Curro, and I am Pat and Dana's son. My wife and I, we live in Denver, Colorado, and we are out here this week visiting for Christmas, and happy to be with you all tonight. I do want to thank Eric for being gracious enough to give me the opportunity to speak this evening. I appreciate Eric and the work that he's doing here. And I also want to thank you, the congregation, for giving me the honor and the privilege of presenting a message from the Word of God. When my father heard that I was preaching tonight, he said, "Don't embarrass me." And so that's the kind of encouragement I'm coming up here with this evening. Did you know that there are people in this world who believe that there is no such thing as absolute truth? What may be right for you is not necessarily right for me. And we live in a culture that has been influenced by the teachings of situational ethics. When it comes to the question of right and wrong, situational ethics cannot give you a definitive answer. Because there is nothing that is definitively right or definitively wrong. But rather, right and wrong is determined by the context in which the question is asked. Because what may be right in one circumstance may actually be wrong in a different circumstance. And so the people who believe that there is no such thing in absolute truth would say, "How dare you impose your version of the truth upon me? You don't know me. You don't know what my life is like. You don't know what my circumstance is like. And so what may be right for one person is not necessarily right for somebody else." So the people who believe that there is no such thing as absolute truth are skeptical of anyone who claims to have the truth. And they can be downright hostile against anyone who is bold enough to suggest that there is a truth that is true for all people living in every place at every time. If you're talking to someone who believes that there is no such thing as absolute truth, a good question to ask is it true that there is no such thing as absolute truth? Because it doesn't matter how they respond, if they say yes, if they say no, or if they say something totally unexpected, the point is made that there must be absolute truth in this world. And in fact, every branch of science teaches us that there is absolute truth. For example, when it comes to the question of anatomy or biology, there is absolute truth. We can take a human being, we can cut open a man's chest, and we can perform surgery on his heart and save a man's life. But why is it that we're able to do something like that? We can do something like that because in the realm of anatomy and biology, there is absolute truth. We know what organs are in the human body. We know where those organs are located in the human body. We know what those organs look like. We know how those organs are designed to function. And if an organ is not functioning in the right way, we could actually cut a person open and perform an operation on that organ and save a person's life. If there were no such thing as absolute truth in the realm of anatomy, or in the realm of biology, or in the realm of medicine, then it would be impossible for us to heal anybody medically. Now, imagine you go to the grocery store and you purchase an item that costs $5. You pay with a $20 bill. How much money do you expect to receive back as change? And what would you do if the cashier were to give you $1 back as change? Would you be satisfied with that? Would you take that dollar, put it in your pocket, and walk out the store with a smile on your face? Or would you ask about the remaining $14? Why do you believe that you should receive $15 back in change? It's because of absolute truth. When it comes to mathematics, absolute truth is a reality. We know that 20 minus 5 is 15. And if you don't get $15 back in change, you're not going to be satisfied. You might even become angry, but you are going to ask about the remaining $14. Where is all the change that I need to receive? Because absolute truth exists, and absolute truth governs the way we live our lives. But what about when it comes to matters of faith? Is there such a thing as absolute truth? when we ask questions about salvation, when we ask questions about Christianity, when we ask questions about God, is there such a thing as absolute truth? Well, notice what Jesus says about the subject. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Jesus believed in truth. Jesus knew that truth exists. And not only does truth exist, but Jesus says that truth is knowable. We can know the truth. I don't know why people would be surprised to discover someone who knows the truth. Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It is essential that we know the truth, because it is knowing the truth that produces freedom in our lives. We cannot be set free apart from the truth. We must know the truth in order to be set free. So Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." But what is it that the truth will set us free from? In the context of John chapter 8, for example, in verse 34, Jesus says, "Everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin." So the context in which Jesus says, "You shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free," Jesus is talking about living a life in bondage to sin. We are made slaves of sin. But Jesus says, "You can know the truth and the truth will set you free." I hope I didn't bump the pulpit with my pocket there in the keys, but you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What Jesus is saying is that it is a knowledge of the truth that will set us free from the bondage of sin. We can be set free from the bondage of sin. In other words, to be set free from the bondage of sin, another way of saying that is we can be forgiven of our sins. And generally, when we talk about a person being forgiven of our sins, what we're talking about is a person being reconciled to God. What we're talking about is a person receiving salvation, being released from the burden of sin, being set free from our sins, being reconciled to God. And so knowing the truth is essential to our salvation. And I feel sorry for those people who say that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Because when a person denies the existence of absolute truth, that person is cutting themselves off from the very thing that provides freedom from sin. Without absolute truth, without knowing the truth, none of us will be set free from the bondage of sin. And so, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "And with all the deception of wickedness, for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 tells us why some people will not be saved. It says that some people will not be saved because they did not receive a love for the truth. There are people in this world who do not love the truth. They reject the truth. When someone presents the truth to them, when they are exposed to the truth, they reject the truth. They spit on the truth. They kick dirt on the truth. They don't want to be exposed to the truth. They don't want to be around the truth. And so they turn away and they walk away. Why? Because they are not lovers of the truth. It is essential that we be lovers of the truth. It is essential that we be a people who are seeking the truth, who love the truth, who want to live a life based on the truth, which can set us free from the bondage of sin. But there are people who do not love the truth, and therefore they reject it. John chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil." Now, Jesus is the light of the world. The light has come into the world, and men rejected the light of the world because they love darkness rather than light. There are people who don't want to be enlightened by the truth. They want to live in darkness because their deeds were evil. They enjoyed the wickedness in which they were living, and they want to continue living a life of wickedness. And so they reject the truth, choosing to live in darkness and continue practicing the wickedness that they love so much. Romans chapter 1 verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." There are people who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, not just do they reject the truth, but they actually dedicate their lives to the destruction of the truth. Or it's their goal to suppress the truth in every way possible. And unfortunately, I think that's an apt description of what we see going on in our country today. We are living in a country, we are living in a society where there are people who are actively seeking to suppress the truth of God. We need to remove God from every public place. We can't talk about God. We can't have any mention of God or any mention of the Word of God anywhere in any public place. We've got to remove God from society. You know, there was a time when the Bible was used as a textbook in our public schools. But nowadays, we have people being fired from their jobs because they have shared the truth with someone who asked a question about it. And that cannot be allowed. We can't have people talking about the Bible. We've got to protect our children from the evils contained in the Bible and the Word of God. So we have people who have lost their jobs because of the truth. We have people who have lost their businesses and had to shut down their businesses because they've chosen to live a life based on the truth of God's Word. In fact, we even have people who have been arrested in this country because they've chosen to live a life based on the principles of the truth of the Word of God. So we are living in a time where there are those who are suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. And unfortunately, I think things are going to get worse as far as the strength in which they're able to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. But the question I ask for us tonight is, where can we find truth? Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." If you want to be set free from the burden of sin, where can we find truth? And Jesus says in John chapter 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Jesus says that the word of God is truth. Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And it is the Word of God that sets us free from the bondage of sin. We must know the Word of God. And Jesus says, "Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth." It's the Word of God that has the power to sanctify a person in this world. So we are set free from the bondage of sin. We receive the forgiveness of sins, and we can even be sanctified by knowing the truth of the Word of God. To be sanctified means to be set apart. To be sanctified means to be made holy. We are made holy. It's the opposite of being sinful. We are set free from the bondage of sin, and we are sanctified. We are made holy because the knowledge of the truth will lead us to the obedience of the Word of God that will produce that sanctification within our lives. Therefore, we must be consumers of the Word of God. We must be a people who are dedicated to reading the Bible every day, meditating upon the Word of God on a daily basis. We must find our delight, our pleasure, our joy in spending time in the Word of God. We must be a people of the book. We must be lovers of the truth. We must be seekers of the truth. We must be knowers of the truth. In Psalm chapter 1, we read about the blessed man. Psalm chapter 1 says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, who produces fruit in its season, and in whatever he does, he prospers." The blessed man. does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. And we live in a time where we are influenced. We have more wicked influences coming into our eyes, coming into our ears, coming into our hearts than any other culture in the history of the world. And it must be a very difficult challenge for our children. Because with the internet and with our iPads and our iPods and our iPhones and the way we have access to the evil influences of this world, we can be the most influenced culture in the history of the world. And don't you think Satan wants to exploit that? Don't you think Satan wants to use everything that comes into our children's iPods and into their ears and into their eyes and into their hearts as a tool to turn their hearts away from God? But blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. The only way we can overcome the evil influences of this world is to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on His law he meditates day and night. We must be a people who read the Bible every day, who meditate upon the Word of God every day, who think about the Word of God every day, who talk about the Word of God every day, who live a life saturated in the Word of God, because this is the truth that will set us free from the bondage of sin. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, talks about the wise man and the foolish man. Now, the wise man is wise because he heard the Word of God and he put it into practice. And when the storm came and beat upon his house stood firm because it was built on a solid foundation. The foolish man, on the other hand, is foolish because he heard the Word of God and he did not put it into practice. In other words, he rejected the Word of God and he chose to build his house on a different foundation. And when the storm came and beat upon his house was destroyed because it was built on an unstable foundation. The Word of God, the Bible, is the only sure guide for life. If we want to be reconciled to God, if we want to be set free from the bondage of sin, if we want to be sanctified, if we want to receive salvation, if we want to be pleasing to God, then we must live a life based on the instructions of His Word. And this principle is so significant that apart from the creation of the universe and apart from the creation of Adam and Eve themselves, the very first story we read about in the Bible teaches us about the trustworthiness of the Word of God. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?'" Here we have Satan in the form of a serpent talking to Eve. Does Satan know the Word of God? Absolutely. Satan knows exactly what God has said to Eve. The interesting thing here is that Eve is not talking about the Word of God to Satan, but rather Satan comes and he asks Eve, "What did God say to you?" The reason Satan is asking, "What did God say to you?" is because Satan knows what God has said to her. And Satan wants to distort the Word of God in the mind of Eve. Satan wants to cast suspicion upon the Word of God. Satan wants to plant a seed of doubt in the mind of Eve concerning the trustworthiness of the Word of God. Can you hear the tone of voice by which Satan asks this question? In verse 1 he says, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The tone of voice with which Satan asks this question implies that God is not trustworthy. In my own words, I hear Satan saying, "Did God really say you can't eat from every single tree that exists in the garden? Did he really say that?" And just the tone of voice by which that question is asked implies that God doesn't know what he's talking about. God must be ignorant. If he really said what I think he said, can you believe how foolish that is to say something like that? That you can't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? It's interesting that Satan is not trying to convince Eve that God does not exist. He's not trying to make Eve an atheist. But rather, all he wants to do is cast suspicion upon the trustworthiness of the Word of God. Because if Satan can cause Eve to doubt the trustworthiness of the Word of God, then he's won the battle. How do people in the world view the Bible today? You know, there are people in the world who think that the Bible was written, you know, thousands of years ago by superstitious people, and it's full of fables, and it's full of lies, and it's full of errors, contradictions, and anyone today who believes that the Bible is the authoritative Word of God is ignorant and foolish. That's what people in the world think about the Bible today. And that's what Satan wants Eve to think here in the Garden of Eden. You can't trust what God says about this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Did God really say something as ignorant as that? That's the question that Satan is asking Eve. So notice what Eve says in verses 3 and 4, Genesis chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. Satan contradicts God. God said, on the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And Satan says, you surely will not die. Satan has contradicted God, and now Eve has to make a choice. Who is telling the truth? Is God telling the truth, or is Satan telling the truth? And the choice that Eve has to make is a question of life or death. It's a matter of life or death, and it's not just a matter of life or death for Eve herself, but the fate of all humanity hangs in the balance of Eve's decision. In fact, the fate of the universe itself hangs in the balance of Eve's decision. What is the source of truth? Is God the source of truth, or is there a truth out there in the world apart from the Word of God? Can we turn our backs on the Word of God and find a source of truth that will benefit our lives in a way better than the Bible can? That's the question that Satan puts before Eve. But notice what Satan says in verse 5. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Here in verse 5, Satan says that God is not trustworthy. God has not told you the whole truth. God knows things that he doesn't want you to know. In other words, God doesn't have your best interests in mind. God doesn't want you to be all that you can be. God is holding you back. He's keeping you down. There is a way in which you can improve your stature in this world apart from the Word of God. And you know, this is probably the first time in Eve's life that she's ever been exposed to a way of thinking different than God's way of thinking. You know, she's never been told that there might be a truth apart from the Word of God up until this point, perhaps. And so this is the very first time that she's thinking about the possibility that there could be a truth apart from the Word of God that could be beneficial to me. That God is not entirely trustworthy, and God does not have my best interests in mind. So verse 6 says, Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good. The woman saw that the tree was good. The word saw is not referring to a process of the eyes, but rather it's referring to a process of the mind. This was an intellectual process. She understood that the tree was good. She believed Satan's lies. She rejected the Word of God. She believed Satan's lies, and she took from the fruit of the tree that was prohibited, and she ate. And she gave it to her husband, who was there with her, and he ate as well. Sin entered into the world because the woman saw that the tree was good. We live in a world full of people today who believe that they are wise. They believe that they are wise because they haven't been duped by by the fairy tale of the Bible. They found wisdom. They found knowledge out there in the world that by which they live their lives. And they believe that they are wise because they're living their lives based on human wisdom, human logic, human knowledge at the expense of the Word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Now that verse says that by the wisdom of the world, people did not come to know God. If we reject the Bible, if we reject the Word of God, and we choose human wisdom, human logic, human knowledge, then we will not come to know God. And it says, God chose to save those who believe. We must believe the Word of God. We must know the Word of God in order to be set free from the bondage of sin. Have you ever seen the movie Pinocchio? Pinocchio was innocent. He was naive. Pinocchio was on his way to school. He was a trusting person. When he met Honest John, and it turns out Honest John was not so honest. Honest John deceived Pinocchio. He tricked Pinocchio with promises of fame and fortune and glory, dancing on Stromboli's stage, and he sold Pinocchio into slavery to Stromboli. And for one day, Pinocchio, instead of going to school, he danced on Stromboli's stage as a marionette without strings. And he enjoyed a life of fame and prosperity and glory until the end of the day when Pinocchio wanted to go home. And that's when he realized he could not go home. He was not free. Stromboli put Pinocchio in a cage and locked the cage. And there Pinocchio was, trapped in a cage. Satan doesn't want us to be set free. Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." But that's the opposite of what Satan wants for us. He doesn't want us to be set free from the bondage of sin. He wants to be slaves to sin. He wants to lock us in that cage so that we cannot be free to serve the Lord. And he does it through deception. Simply by casting doubt on the trustworthiness of the Word of God, Satan is able to turn Eve's heart away from God, resulting in the fall of mankind. Death has entered into the world. We live in a fallen world today, not only because Adam and Eve rejected the Word of God and chose to live a life of sin, but because mankind today, generally speaking, has also rejected the Word of God and chose to live a life of sin. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." What people think is good for them is actually going to produce death for them. A life not guided by the Word of God will result in death. Our modern enlightened society is no different from first century Rome. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness." We live in a world full of people who think they are enlightened, who think that they are wise, but they suppress the truth of God in unrighteousness. Just like they did in first century Rome. Romans chapter 1, verse 25 says, "They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator." They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. That's what Satan wanted Eve to do. He lied to Eve. He deceived Eve, and Eve exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and it produced death. What's going to happen to us if we exchange the truth of God for a lie? Because what Satan did to Eve, he wants to do to us as well. He wants to do this to our children. He wants to turn the hearts of our children away from God so that they might exchange the truth of God for a lie. And he's going to use every influence possible that he can bring into their eyes, that he can bring into their ears, that he can place in their minds, that he can place in their hearts, that would cause them to exchange the truth of God for a lie. And by means of his deceptions, Satan has destroyed the world that God had created. For that reason, he is called the god of this world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, in whose case the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. There are people who will not see the light of the gospel. There are people who will not accept the truth of the word of God. There are people who will reject the word of God because their minds have been blinded by the deception of Satan. Satan is not trustworthy. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He didn't want Eve to live. He wanted Eve to die. And so he said, God is not trustworthy. The word of God is not trustworthy. There is a truth apart from the word of God by which you can improve your status in this world. And Eve exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and it resulted in death. She wasn't better off for having exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And we will not be better off either if we exchange the truth of the word of God to follow human logic. The danger is real. What's at stake is our eternal salvation. Will we spend eternity praising God, or will we spend eternity in the absence of God? How can we protect ourselves from Satan's evil influences? How can we protect our children from Satan's evil influences? Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23 says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Buy the truth. The truth is worth whatever price it costs for us to attain it. Whatever sacrifice we have to make, the truth is worth making that sacrifice. But honestly, when it comes to our day and age, we're not talking about a financial sacrifice. He says, buy the truth. It's not going to cost us very much because we have the Bible probably in multiple rooms in our house. You can go home and find the Word of God in many places in your home. And with the technology that we have today, we have the Bible on our phones, we have the Bible on our iPads, we have the Bible on our iPods, we have the Bible on the internet, we have the Bible on the radio. We can listen to the Word. We can listen to someone else read the Bible to us anytime we want. We have more access to the Word of God today than any other culture in the history of the world. By the truth requires a sacrifice of our time. It requires a commitment. Are we committed to seeking the truth? Are we willing to get up 30 minutes earlier every morning so that we could spend time in the Word of God? Are we willing to turn the TV off 30 minutes earlier each night so that we can spend time in the Word of God? Are we going to find a way to live a life saturated in the Word of God? Because if the Word of God remains unopened, if it remains untouched, if it remains unread, if it sits there on the shelf day after day after day, the fact that we have so much exposure to the Word of God means nothing if we're not actually reading it or meditating upon it. If we neglect the Word of God, we are putting our souls in peril, and we are putting the souls of our children in peril. Proverbs 23, verse 23 says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Cling to the truth. Never give it up. Because Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And if you want to be set free tonight from the bondage of sin, then we invite you to respond to this message. You can come forward as we stand and sing, which we're going to do in just a minute. Or you can speak to someone, someone sitting next to you on the pew before you leave here tonight. But if you know that you're in peril, Don't leave here tonight without making your life right with God. The invitation is open now as we stand and sing the invitation song.